Welcome to Bless the Knees, a Vikings podcast, coming to you now from the Great Hall. Here are your hosts, Justin Bresky and Andy Erickson.
Hello, Vikings fans, NFL fans, whoever out there is listening. Welcome to Bless the Knees, a Vikings podcast. I am your host, Justin Bresky, and I am joined here in the Great Hall with my co-host, best friend, and mortal enemy, Andy Erickson. What is up, my guy?
How's it going? I saw some football clips you've already posted from your some of your games. A last-second touchdown win?
Yes, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's definitely made my fall a little bit more crazy with trying to balance the, the coaching and then trying to balance just off time in general and trying to record the podcast. But it's been a lot of fun so far. And yeah, we had a crazy last second victory with the Hail Mary with our eighth graders. And that was just a really fun game to be at. So just to set the stage for it, because I didn't really explain it very well in my post that you saw the video in.
They just chucked it up.
Yeah.
Just chucked it up.
So we were down 8-18 with 4 minutes left, and we were able to drive down the field and score. So we got it to 16-18 because we went for two.
Yep.
And then, because, you know, you don't really kick field goals in middle school football. Like,
yeah, you just got to go for two.
It's just not very successful. So we did that, and then we had about probably 2 minutes left. And then for some reason, we had two timeouts, and the other team decided to pass the ball two times in a row. So we got lucky and had a dead – the clock was able to, you know, to stop because both times they passed the ball.
Yeah.
And then on the third play, they broke this huge run, but they had a chop block. So thankfully that got called back. And we're able to force a four down, a turnover on downs. And then set up that beautiful Hail Mary play. So it was just a very well organized win, and the kids played great, and it's just been a lot of fun.
It sounds like they got out coached, and then you're just taking credit, right?
Yes. Outcoached and outsmarted, like legit. Like if they wouldn't have passed those couple times, that we would have never had that opportunity to begin with. So we definitely outcoached them and used our timeouts and just really, really killed it. So
that actually sounds like something that would happen to the Vikings. Like pass it twice and then have a big run called back and then lose the game.
Yep, we'd pass it twice and then do a halfback draw up the middle with like 3rd and 30. And then, you know, then we would let them kick a field goal to like win it. That's definitely would be a Vikings situation right there.
It's pretty much. Yeah, there hasn't been much going on this side of things. I just got done watching the new Ted Lasso. Have you been watching the new season?
Oh, man, I need to finish it. I'm like 3 or 4 episodes in and I need to finish watching it.
Of season one?
Of season two. Okay. I've watched season one. I just haven't finished season two yet.
Okay, yeah. Season two, I think there's still 2 episodes that are going to come out, but there's like, I think episode 8 came out tonight.
Oh, I didn't even know. I didn't know that they were releasing it in episodes at a time. I thought they released the whole season. So
they
thought
do one a week.
Like, oh.
I feel like a lot of streaming places, like other than Netflix, have moved back to doing like the weekly release, which I'm kind of okay with.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it makes it harder.
Otherwise, you just binge it and then. Yeah. You like forget everything. You watch it in a day and you're like, okay, well now I have to wait 2 years for the next season. No one really talks about it.
Right.
No, Ted Lasso is great. Anyone that hasn't watched Ted Lasso need to get on that.
It is seriously legit. Like you'll think, cause like me, I'm sure that everybody out there, I mean, unless you just really love soccer, you're like, why would I want to watch a show about somebody coaching soccer? But it's seriously like a legit heartwarming show and like obviously has sports involved and it's just like a very feel good and like and has a lot of action to it too, so
and it's so much less about the sport show. And it's more about the characters, and like every single character has like depth and a backstory and like it actually is meaningful, and it's great.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely, and each character has their own like you know, like their own little angle and little arc. And it's just kind of fun to get to learn everybody. And just Ted is just like the, like most, like, I'm trying to think of how to describe him. Like the most heartwarming person and like, genuine, like,
yeah, he's like genuinely, genuinely wholesome person. And makes a lot of pop culture references.
Yeah, it just makes me want to be like Ted Lasso. Like whenever he just tells his like bad jokes and everything, I'm just like, yeah, that's what I want to be.
That inspire your coaching.
Oh yeah, that's exactly. I coach exactly like Ted Lasso coaches. Just like
you coach like Ted Lasso, except when you're smashing watermelons.
Exactly.
Mix between McCarthy and Lasso.
Yeah, our seventh grade is only 1-1, and I think it's solely because I didn't smash a watermelon. So,
yeah. How dare you? How dare you do that to those kids?
No, so yeah, that's been really fun. I definitely need to catch up on Ted Lasso. But is there anything else new with you, Andy? You said because you started back school up and everything. Is there anything else that's kind of new for you?
Yeah, no, just class and work, basically. Nothing too exciting.
Just living it up, you know, waiting for football to come around. This is like the best time of the year, and it's coming in clutch because I just remember when I was in college, like football season, you would like be sad because you'd start classes, but then football was like right around the corner, and it's just like the best thing.
Yep. Yep. It's, I already told work I can't work on Sundays, so
I'm ready. Hell yeah, dude. This is the best way because then you're not going to be sad about missing any games or anything.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about Sundays here, Andy. You know, we get our first NFL Sunday week one football games here. And so let's talk about some Vikings news here to really work our way into this week one game versus the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, so looking at overall, like I think it is very nice with the exception of a couple players here and there that we are coming into the game fairly healthy. And obviously we lost Irv Smith Jr. since our last episode, which is a very big bummer. Cause we, you know, we're very high on him having just a breakout season being tight end one now.
He was basically like going to be our third wide receiver. He was going to get a lot of looks in the passing game. He was having a great preseason, a great training camp. So it really sucks to see him go down for the season.
Yeah. I mean, I still have some hope. I mean, they've been very like wishy-washy on his timetable to return, but I feel like it's probably going to be the entire season because they don't want to risk him, you know, getting him injured. But
until playoffs, he'll come back and play in the Super Bowl with us.
Oh man, I hope so. That would be beautiful. I would love that. So we're pretty much healthy outside of that. And then obviously, the news came out today that we're going to be without Anthony Barr and Christian Darrisaw for this game, which is kind of a bummer because Barr just got named, you know, captain. So it's sad that he's going to start the first game, you know, sitting out, but, I'm excited that he's actually going to be healthy and able to play this year. I am very excited. Yeah,
from the sound of it, Zimmer keeps saying he's close. He did practice 2 days ago, and then he was a little sore yesterday, so he sat out. So I think they're pretty close with him. They're just being extra cautious with the soreness in his knee.
Mm-hmm.
Very much a bless the knees scenario.
Yep, bless the knees.
And then Darrisaw being out, I mean, it's not huge for us because he wasn't going to start anyway, but it's nice that he's been back at practice and kind of trying to get in the swing of things after missing a big portion of training camp.
Right. Yeah. We definitely want him to be, you know, available and just being able to get work because, you know, we drafted him to be that, you know, that stalwart left tackle. So I'm hoping he can get healthy and hopefully, you know, start earning his place on that first team offensive line. But, you know, if it takes him a little time, that's okay too. I just want him to be able to hopefully be that, you know, that final piece of the offensive line.
Yeah. And it could be, I mean, the injury report, like overall with just two players, I'm happy with that. It could be a lot longer and I could be a lot sadder right now. So we're pretty healthy heading into game one and it makes me even more confident. that we're going to come out with a win.
Yeah, so looking into the Cincinnati Bengals side of things, obviously, you know, there was a lot of news that that Joe Burrow was going to be out initially for a long time over the summer. We thought that he wasn't going to be back right away. But then things really ramped up and escalated over preseason, and it looks like he's ready to go. So now we do get to face off against Joe Burrow.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be exciting to see the kind of things that, you know, Zimmer draws up with his revamped defense on this, you know, young quarterback coming off an injury. Is he going to kind of, you know, take a while to get into things, get in the swing of things? I told somebody that we're going to have, what did I say? Probably like 5 sacks. I'm pretty confident that we're going to get to the quarterback quite a bit this Sunday.
Yep. Yeah. Just with the, you know, Bengals offensive line, they didn't really spend a whole lot. I mean, they spent a lot of mid round picks on offensive line, which obviously as Vikings fans, we know that, unless you get very lucky and hit on them, typically it does not tend to work out very good.
Yeah.
You know, they do have a decent left tackle. You know, they do have Riley Reiff, who was on the Vikings last season, where he probably had his best season as a pro. But who knows if that's going to continue in Cincinnati, you know, if he's going to have a little bit of regression. I mean, for our sake, for this game, I hope so. Because I would love to see DJ Wonnum and Daniil Hunter and just that whole front crew just wreak some havoc.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Because Reiff is their starting right tackle now.
Oh, he's the right tackle. Forgot about that.
And so that means he's going to be lining up against Hunter the majority of the snaps. So that'll be fun to watch that battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be a really good battle to watch. And then also, I was just looking at the injury report for the Bengals. It looks like Trey Waynes, who, you know, was our, I want to say he was our 2015 or 2016 first round pick. Who played for us for a while. He is out, so we're not going to be able to face off against him. But other than that, they look fairly healthy coming into this game as well. So I think, overall, like my expectations for this game, I feel like this is a game that that we should win just because I feel like we have the better roster and, you know, we have the better talent and we have a coaching staff that's been there for a lot longer. So there's no reason in my mind that I would think that we should lose this game.
Yeah, there's we're going to get to it later with, like, you know, our locks of the week, the guaranteed wins. And I would put this right up there with, I'm pretty confident in saying the Vikings are going to win this game. I would almost guarantee it, but you can't do that with the Vikings. So
I know. I was just going to say, you can, like, if you listen back to this entire last minute, you can hear the hesitancy in our voices because, you know, we think of like the Cleveland Browns game, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago before they were starting to look pretty good.
And or the Bills game.
Dominated. And then we just get like dominated by the Bills. And yeah, so there's all these games where like, uh-oh, we should win these games.
You go into it saying, oh, this will be like a free win. We don't have to worry. And yeah. And yep. I think the Vikings usually do come out pretty slow when the season starts.
Yep.
So I could see it being closer than it should, but I still think it's going to be a Vikings win. The Trey Waynes being out helps us. They're kind of lacking at depth when it comes to corner. I think they're going to have to play maybe Eli Apple in his place, who, I mean, he's not a great cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have two great safeties back there. So their secondary, well, it's hurting with the corners. Their safeties are really strong. So we'll see how that plays out with Thielen and Jefferson and those guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm hesitant to just, check it as a W because, you know, obviously it's football. And as you said, usually the beginning of the season, we do look a little flat. And after our preseason, you know, I mean, not to say that preseason is a true indicator on what you're going to do in the season, but it's just like there's a couple like little bit of like warning signs. I'm like, OK, I hope we really get this smoothed out. You know, Dalvin Cook gets running downhill, you know, getting those 100 yards plus. And then I feel like we're just going to roll. But I just hope that our offensive play calling is better and our defense just comes out and smothers them. And I feel like if that happens, then I think we're going to be just fine.
Yeah. When I look at, you know, position battles and straight up on paper players versus players, I feel like we have the advantage almost everywhere. Our corners should be able to do fine against their young receivers. Our D line should be able to eat their offensive line alive.
Yep.
Our receivers should beat their corners. And we have the better run game. So there's not really like a big point in the game where they can get like this big advantage to take the game over. But that's just on paper. So,
right. Yeah. So now we just got to see it happen now is the thing. So, which I'm so excited, dude. I've been like waiting for week one for a long time. I was able to get my football fix in, obviously, with coaching and then being able to watch some college football last week. But I'm like, my body is ready for some NFL football.
Yeah, especially after the taste we got last night. Like, football is back, like fully back. That was like a great game to be the first game of the season. So now I'm just ready for some Vikings on my TV.
Yeah, I'm so glad that that game wasn't a stinker. And we'll talk about that game a little bit later. But yeah, it was just a great game to start the season. So now I'm like pumped and just ready to sit down and watch Red Zone and the Vikings at the same time and just like, you know, have my Sundays be fulfilled.
Yeah, I am ready for some Red Zone. I've missed the Red Zone. And I can be watching all four of my fantasy leagues at the same time, getting sad and happy at the same time.
I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this question already, but are you a Chris Hansen guy or are you a, what's the other guy's name?
Siciliano.
Siciliano, yeah.
I'm a Hansen guy.
Okay, thank God. Yeah, Hansen is so much better.
Yep. Definitely a Hansen guy.
Yeah, I feel like the way that he handles everything and just the way that he comments on things, it's just a good program, good overall program, and I enjoy it.
I do want to point out that you said Chris Hansen, like, take a seat. like he's going to come. I'm just going to be watching Red Zone and Chris Hansen's going to pop in the door and just be like, Andy, why don't you take a seat? And I don't know if I don't know if I do prefer Chris Hansen over Siciliano.
Yeah. I guess
Scott Hansen.
We don't want Chris Hansen to be on TV screen. If that's the case, then we might have bigger concerns.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather him on my screen than coming into the door, like in my house. So, yeah. If it's between that, I'll pick Siciliano.
Yeah. Let's go with Scott Hansen instead. Oh my God, it's been a long day, Andy. I can't do this anymore.
So, Chris Hansen. He's gonna make an appearance on Sunday.
Why don't you?
Right before the Vikings game starts, I won't even get to watch the game.
Oh my God! Oh boy! All right, well, let's get into this. Let's just change the subject here. All right.
Yeah.
We put out a tweet a couple of days ago, and we got some really good feedback. We decided we're going to be doing a listener mailbag today.
Our first listener mailbag.
Yes, I am super excited.
We actually got some questions.
Yeah, we got quite a few questions, and I'm very excited to answer them because, you know, there's a mixture of just some Vikings fans in general, but also just some fantasy heads that are looking for some advice on what to expect from some of these new Vikings that are on the team and some of these Vikings that maybe could be taking a step up. So let's just get right into this here, Andy. You ready for the first question?
Hit me with the first question.
All right, so I'll let you go first on this one. So this is by one of our listeners, Bryce. He's one of our better Twitter followers. He follows us, and we have a lot of interaction with him at all times. So hello, Bryce. Thanks for your question. He has three questions.
Oh, God.
Let's start off with just the first one here. So what do you think will be the Vikings' final record?
Vikings' final record. I think we're going to be over 500. I have to do the numbers in my head because there's 17 games.
Yep. I was going to say this is a test to see if you actually remember there's 17 games now.
I'm going to say 12 and 5.
That's 12 and 5.
12 and
5.
Ooh. Yep.
Okay. I thought you were going to be a little bit more down than I was, but I mean, not to say that we thought it was going to be a bad season, but 12 and 5. Heck yeah, man. I would love 12 and 5.
12 and 5. There's a couple losses in there. I can see them on the schedule, but overall, I think we're going to be sitting pretty good at the end of the year.
I was very close to what you thought, Andy. I thought that I think we're going to be 11-6. And I'm hoping that's going to be enough for a division championship. But if not, then I feel like with an 11-6 record, we should make the playoffs.
At least get a wild card spot.
You know, if Rodgers continues to ball out and perform at the level that he did last year, I mean, I could see the Packers taking it, but that's really the only competition that we really have for the division.
You're not too worried about Fields coming in like week two and then being like the best quarterback in the NFL?
I mean, I think Fields is going to be good, but I think that roster is just too top heavy and just kind of old. I think Chicago is going to need a few rebuilding years or reload years, if you know what I mean.
Do you think they finish above the Lions still?
Yeah, I think the Lions are still going to be at the bottom of the pack. But I think the Bears will be right in that third place spot.
I would love if we could win the division and the Lions could get second.
That would be interesting. And I think that would be a large surprise because I think everybody is so down on the Lions.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to a single person that is like,
I think the Lions are going to be pretty good. Like, I don't think a person like that exists.
Yeah. Yeah. It's with all the moves that they've had and with a new coach, I feel like a lot of people are just down on them in general because they just don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you just look at the division, if you look at the talent there, there's for sure. And I mean, not that we're biased, but we kind of are. There's at least two teams that are better than them, maybe three, depending on how you look at Chicago. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's going to be tough to see. But I mean, I hope that they do well because they're kind of like that one division opponent that I don't mind as much. Like, I hope we beat them every year. But if they win some games here and there, like, I don't mind.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right. Well, that's a great first question to start off with. So our second question from Bryce is, who do you think will be the hardest opponent this year? And we actually have quite a few tough games when I'm looking at this schedule.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Toughest opponent. My heart wants to say, I mean, division games are always tough. Soldier Field's always tough. Packers are always tough, but I'm not going to go with a division game. I'm going to go with our second favorite team, the Browns.
The Browns, yeah.
I'm going with the Browns. The Browns are a good team. Stefanski's familiar with us. I think their roster matches up pretty decently against ours.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, I would agree with that one. I mean, I do have a different choice, but I do think that Browns game is going to be a tough one for us because, as you said, our teams are very similar, you know, in the sake of, I mean, with Stefanski coming from, you know, the Vikings tree, you know, just having that strong running game, and they've built up a pretty bruising defense. And I mean, I really think Baker Mayfield is going to have a breakout season personally. This is going to be the first season where he's going to have the same offensive coordinator and head coach since his rookie year.
Yeah.
Gets Odell back. Yeah. There's just all the signs are pointing in the right direction for him. And I do think the talent is there. So that will be a tough game for us coming up. What week is that? Is that week?
That's week four. Cause that's week the week four. After the Seahawks game.
Right. Which we will have some news about that Seahawks game here towards the end of the episode here. But yeah, Cleveland Browns, that'll be a tough game. For me, I have the 49ers, which
I almost went there.
Very similar to what we kind of talked about, with just teams that are kind of underrated or under the radar. I think we were talking about the Steelers beforehand. But just like teams that were like really injured, that had a bad year, but like, you know, San Francisco is two years removed from a Super Bowl appearance, and they really haven't lost any big pieces, and they have a new rookie quarterback where I think he very well could be starting, you know, somewhat soon in the beginning of the season, depending on how Garoppolo plays.
Yeah, I was close to picking the Niners, and I was also close to picking the Rams, just because both of those teams, when you look at the matchup against the Vikings, our biggest weakness at all times is always our offensive line getting teams want to get pressure on Kirk. And the Niners and the Rams are two teams that are going to be able to do that. And those are the games our offensive line has to be at their top, or else we're going to lose this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, those will be big tests for what people are saying, you know, is a big year for our revamped offensive line. And it'll be a big test for them to see if we can actually withhold and withstand against those pass rushers. Because, man, when they get going, it's hard to stop them.
Yep, exactly.
Honorable mention, you know, we do have some other rough games like the Steelers. Obviously, like you said, the Rams. The Packers, I think, are going to be really close games this year for us. The
Ravens, Seahawks are always tough.
Yeah, we actually
Chargers have, are good. We have a tough schedule.
We have a tough schedule.
But 12-5.
12-5, 11-6, somewhere in there. We will take it.
Yep.
And then for the last question, who do you think will be the MVP for the Vikings this year? And I'll lead off with this one.
Yeah, you take that one.
I think I'm going with the easiest choice here, but I just feel like because he is probably the best player on our team and is just such a huge factor in every single game for us, Dalvin Cook is going to be the MVP for the Vikings this year. I foresee him leading the league in rushing. You know, I'm hoping he's going to be able to stay healthy for all 17 games. You know, because I think if he can do that, he's going to have no problem leading the league in rushing, probably rushing touchdowns and all of those things. And it's just going to be the force in our offense that makes it go.
Yeah, that's there's a couple answers there on offense that are, you know, you could go with the Dalvins or the Jeffersons or even the Cousins, but I think I'm going to go the other side and say our MVP is Kendricks. I think he's the most.
I like it.
I think he's the most important part of our defense. I think when he went down last year, it was a very noticeable difference on how our defense played. And if he goes down this year, you're going to see a big change in our defense. He's like the best tackler we have. He's great in pass protection. He's always knows where to be on the field. And he's the best player on our defense. So I think he's the most important person on our defense and the most valuable player, or will be.
Absolutely. I think that's a very good choice. And I would agree with that, with him being, you know, just a very strong force in our defense. And like you said, noticing how we missed, you know, him in his absence, it was very noticeable last year. So having him back will for sure be a big piece for our defense just to stay together and stay strong.
The other choice could be Hunter, because I could see him having a lot of sacks this year. It's mm-hmm. gonna be a big numbers for Hunter.
Yeah, I think he's kind of one of those players that is kind of off everyone's radar just because he was out all last season.
Yeah.
You know, and he had a lot of hype coming into last season. But then, you know, obviously with the injury, you know, people are a little like low on him because they're like, well, now with this neck injury, is he going to be able to stay healthy? But man, this guy's an athletic freak, and I could definitely see him being, you know, just a strong force this year and just, you know, absolutely dominating some of those offensive linemen we face.
Yeah. I like the fact that for a question like that, like who the Vikings MVP is going to be, we have multiple answers that we could say. It makes me feel pretty comfortable about the team.
Yep. It just goes to show we do have a very strong roster. So I think that is a great question. So thank you so much, Bryce. Thanks so much for your questions. Hopefully you enjoy this first game as much as we will, because we are so excited. Moving on to our next question here, we have Joey the Tooth, one of our IDP boys.
Our boy.
He asks, does Chris Herndon make an impact this year? If so, when? Andy, I will let you lead with this one.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I can't remember what draft it was. There was a fantasy draft, one of the ones that we're in, because we're in every league together. But I was going to pick Herndon with my last pick in the draft just to do it. And then you did it like right before me. So thanks for that. That being said, I don't think he's going to be making an impact for these first couple weeks. When they release the depth chart, he is technically our third tight end on the depth chart. But we traded a pick for a reason. We brought him in for a reason. He's going to get in the game. Zimmer said in a I was watching an interview yesterday, and he said that they're going to have a package for him, you know, this week, but it's going to be limited snaps. He's still learning the playbook. He's still learning, you know, working with Cousins and getting to know everything. So I would say he's going to be making an impact and actually in there probably week like 4 or 5.
Yeah, I would have to agree there with you, Andy. Because he is, you know, we just traded for him. I believe it was just a little over a week ago. Yeah. It does take time, especially, you know, with a player learning, you know, a whole new playbook. It can be a lot. It can be a little bit of time before a person will get in there and have the confidence of the coaches and be able to know what he's doing. But yeah, like you said, I picked him up as one of my last picks, and I kind of figured that you were going to pick him up too. So I was like, if I could snag him here right before Andy, that'd be great. And I did. So I do think eventually he will be a bigger piece of the offense. Because Tyler Conklin is more just that bruiser guy, where he's going to be, you know, probably blocking a lot, kind of like in that, you know, Kyle Rudolph, you know, role last year. Yeah. We're probably going to have a lot of those two tight end sets, and Conklin's probably going to be in that pass protection. And I could see Herndon out there running routes. And I do think that, you know, as far as top like tight end rankings, can he crack the top 10? I mean, depending on how well he does, but since he's starting, you know, he's probably not going to get in like really good snaps until week 4 or 5.
Yeah.
It might be a plug and play depending on, matchups and those kind of things. But I don't know. I feel really good about it, because I thought when he was with the Jets, who we traded you know, picks for him, he had a really good first year, his rookie year, and then he kind of had a falling out and had stone hands for a couple of years. So I'm hoping that maybe we can revitalize his career, and he looks really good.
Yeah, that's when it comes down to the impact he's going to make, I think it's somewhere between, like, I don't think he's going to be as good as Irv would have been. Yep. But I don't think he's going to be like a bottom tier tight end of the league either. He's going to slowly work his way in, and he's going to be decent for us. And then, yeah, he's good. Like you said, later in the year, fantasy wise, he'll be a decent plug and play if you need someone and we have a good matchup for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Unless he just goes off, you know, then I would say, yeah, just kind of keep him on your roster. Just speaking on fantasy terms, keep him on your roster, stash him, because he very well could be somebody that could be worth it in the long run. Yep. That's a good question. So thank you so much, Joey, for that. We really appreciate that. And then we have another question here from Johnny the Greek, another one of our IDP boys, who is very excited about the Vikings this year, which we also are. So thanks for the question, Johnny. He asks, who will be the week one MVP, and how much will Dalvin Cook eat against the 28th ranked 2020 Bengals rush defense in week one? And I think, Johnny, you kind of almost answered your question already. At least from my response, what I would say is I do think that Dalvin Cook is probably going to be the week one MVP. I think we're going to lean on him pretty heavy just to establish the run. And I think we're just going to run it down their throats. And I could see Dalvin Cook having at least 150 yards, total yards from scrimmage, and maybe a couple touchdowns. So I think he is going to have a great day for us on week one against the Bengals.
Dalvin's going to come out swinging this week, and the Bengals aren't going to be able to do anything about it. I also think he's going to be like the MVP for this week one. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised with 150 and like 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. Yep.
Unless they really sell out to stop the run, like sell out everything. And then like Jefferson and Thielen are just going to feast. So it's kind of like a pick your poison. And when it comes to comparing, like, the safeties are good, corners aren't very good, and then they have weakness in their D-line and their linebackers, so it's like, I can definitely see Dalvin doing things.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it'll very much be whatever the Bengals decide they want to stop is going to be, the benefactor is going to be whoever is the opposite, whether it's, you know, Justin Jefferson and Thielen, or, you know, Dalvin Cook, depending on what they try to stop there, because I just think we do have the better talent, and I think it's just going to be an offensive show for us, I think. So
yeah, I think so too.
we're kind
Vikings
of
gonna put up a lot of points.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they're really gonna have a good first game. And hopefully start the season strong, because we have a tough stretch. You know, our first five games, we kind of have a little bit of a tough stretch. So
yeah,
we really need to start off strong here.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Well, thanks so much for that question, Johnny. And our last question is Bobby Reynolds, our boy, IDP Bob.
Bob.
He asked me a little while ago about this player that I'm going to mention here in his question, but I really like his question because it does bring up some questions about, you know, kind of some wide receiver depth, but also maybe some potential players that could rise to the, you know, rise to the top. So Bobby asks, why did I buy KJ Osborne, and what week does he become wide receiver 2 in #soda?
Okay. Good question.
It's a good question. I mean,
questioning yourself, why did you do that?
Yeah, I feel like I don't know if I could answer on why you bought him, because that was definitely a you thing, Bob. But I believe in KJ Osborne because, you know, he had a rough season last year, but he's gotten a lot of hype in the preseason. And I think he is, you know, really fighting for that wide receiver three spot with D.D. Westbrook. Yep. But I do think KJ Osborne is going to come out on top, because he is the younger guy, and we know we have him under contract, and I think his athleticism is just going to be a bit better. So if, and I hope that this isn't the case, but if there was an injury to, you know, an Adam Thielen or Justin Jefferson, which, knock on wood, bless the knees, everything else bless that I could possibly say, I could see KJ Osborne stepping up being that wide receiver too. But that would only be the only case where I could see him being the wide receiver too, is if there is that injury. Because I just think, you know, obviously Thielen's getting a little bit older, but, he doesn't really show any signs of slowing down yet. And obviously Justin Jefferson had possibly one of the best seasons as a rookie wide receiver in the NFL, in NFL yep. history. I mean, sure, maybe he could have a little bit of regression, but I don't think it would be much, because all we've been hearing from training camp is just how much better he's gotten, which is insane to think about.
Yeah, and when we're talking about news out of training camp, I'm gonna say that's why you bought KJ Osborne, because there were so many articles talking about how great a camp he was having, how good he looked, and I'm going to go against Justin a little bit and say I don't think he's going to rise up and be that, you know. I think Westbrook is going to be the guy once he gets a little more comfortable.
Okay.
I think Osborne's going to kind of just be forever the depth guy that can come in, maybe like a Jarius Wright type. It's like he's going to be solid, but he's never going to be a two or your best receiver. He's the backup kick returner. He's the backup punt returner. And I think Westbrook, now that he's healthy, is going to kind of slide into that wide receiver three spot. And then Osborne and Amir are going to kind of fight it out, you know, for certain packages, depending.
There is a lot to be desired, you know, just from looking at our wide receiver depth and just with the hope that some of these younger guys could develop and really be something special. You know, with Amir Smith, you know, he looks like he's going to be a great returner. And I'm really excited about him. And obviously with you know, KJ Osborne and D.D. Westbrook, compared to last season and the season before, I just feel really good about our wide receiver room.
Yeah, I'm happy with all of the receivers we have on our roster, because Smith-Marset is one of the fastest guys on our roster. He's just one of those athletes that he's electric when you get the ball in his hands. So I can see us using Amir for certain, like, screens and end arounds, things like that. And then Westbrook, now that he's, you know, fully healthy, he's been practicing. Zimmer said he is going to be playing a little bit of receiver on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we'll kind of get to see how he looks coming off that knee injury. Bless the knee.
Yeah, bless the knees. We don't want to put that energy into the air.
Yeah, there's been enough of that on other teams. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
We don't want any of that.
Yep, no more of that. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. My goodness. But thank you guys so much for our first ever listener mailbag. You know, if you didn't get a question in before we were able to do the pod, you know, keep your eyes open for our next time we'll do it. Maybe we'll do one like halfway through the season, or maybe close to the end of the season, depending on how things are going. But thank you guys so much that got questions in there, because we definitely do appreciate it, and you know, gave us some good content here to talk about. So make sure if you listened in to either respond to what we talked about and what your opinions will be, or just let us know.
Yeah, Bob, just tell us why.
Yeah, Bob, just tell us why.
Like why? You know?
Like why did you buy KG Osborne, Bob?
What was it? Was it his looks? Do you like his name? What was it?
Yeah. Yeah, what is it? I think Bob, you just got to let us know. We just need to know, cuz I just need to know at this point.
I'm going to lose sleep over this.
All right. So, yeah, thank you guys so much for that. We definitely do appreciate it. Wendy, let's talk about some NFL news. So, obviously, we haven't had all of week one happen yet, but we were able to watch the first game of the NFL season with Tampa Bay versus Dallas. I thought it was a great game. You know, it was a very much a back and forth. You know, no team really had the for sure control of the game. I felt like it was very, you know, it was never really one-sided. I had no idea who was going to win it. You know, once we got to like the fourth quarter, I had no idea.
I had no idea until there was like a minute and a half left. And then I was like, okay, I know what's going to happen here. That was the only time I knew who was going to win that game.
Yep.
Usually, and also because I had money on the Cowboys. So I knew.
That'll do it.
I also knew it was going to happen because of that.
Like, yeah, because you bet money. That was like, it was in the cards that you were just going to get. You're going to lose.
It's like, oh, Tom Brady's down by one with a minute and a half left and one timeout. They win. Tom Brady wins.
Yep. That's never a good thing for anybody.
That's just how it is.
So, yeah, it was a really good game. It was very much back and forth. It really does show, you know, the Cowboys defense is very much like we thought it was going to be, pretty much non-existent, and just kind of letting everybody slice through like Swiss cheese. And the Cowboys offense looked really good. So I think there's going to be a lot of high scoring games whenever Dallas plays anybody.
Yep. It's, Dak came out and showed that he's still a really good player. They're, you know, all of Hard Knocks, they had him not throwing because of his shoulder, you know, trying to be careful with him. And then week one, they have him throw it like what, 62 times or something.
Yeah. Ridiculous? They hardly ran Zeke at all. Well, which, you know, against that Tampa Bay front, I can understand why, because it wasn't really working.
Zeke was picking up blitzes like the best of them, though. He was doing his job out there.
He was definitely doing his job. I'm sure all of you fantasy owners for Zeke are like, well, that doesn't matter. But for the Cowboys, yeah, it really did matter. Zeke was picking up a ton of those blitzes and really, I mean, did a great job protecting Dak throughout the entire game.
You guys just need to join the points per blitz pickup leagues. You know, it really values the running back position, so.
Absolutely. That's definitely a stat that all of you guys need to start adding into your fantasy football leagues.
Yeah. And they'll give you the point no matter what. Even if your running back gets lit up, you know, they picked it up. Not well, but you get a point, right?
You get a half point. Like, at least you made contact.
Yeah. They tried. They did their best.
Andy, you have any more comments about the game at all? Of anything you noticed about maybe what do you think about Tampa?
I haven't talked to you about this, but I wanted to hear your opinion on the number change, the jerseys, watching that game. Did it feel weird to you, or are you just like, you know what, this is fine?
I mean, I think at this point, because I knew about it and I've kind of like mentally prepared myself, and I watched college football last week, I think like my brain is like, okay, like I just need to accept it and not be like the old man yelling at clouds. You know, so it's very weird because it's very unnatural, but, I've just kind of told myself like, just let it happen. And then try not to focus on it and it'll be okay.
Yeah. Like it was just weird with like Leonard Fournette was number 7, but then Diggs on Dallas was number 7.
Yeah.
And then you had Parsons is 11 back there.
Yep, he was number 11.
It's just, it's weird. It's definitely weird, but I think it's something that even the people that like are very against it right now and kind of doing the old man yell at clouds thing, I think we'll get used to it.
I think so.
You're just going to know, like, this number is this player, and that's how it is. I mean, college is that way, so.
Right, and it kind of made me think, I was like, wait, is this a preseason game? Because I feel like in preseason, you know, they just kind of throw whatever number at you.
Yeah.
So it was almost like, wait, what's going on here? But yeah, so it definitely was different actually seeing it kind of happen in action. But yeah, I think it'll definitely be one of those things where we'll get used to it with time, but as of right now, it just looks and feels very weird.
Yeah, and then my other thing was, do you think, based off the performance, are Tampa still like the Super Bowl favorites?
The way that Tom Brady still continues to play, I feel like as long as he can maintain that level of play, I feel like, I mean, obviously he threw a couple picks, but one of them was a Hail Mary, and I mean, one was a bad throw. But I mean, outside of that, he had a heck of a game.
He was the highest rated player from both teams. Like 44-year-old Tom Brady was the best player on the field last night.
So I'm not going to doubt them, because just even looking at their defense, like Vita Vea, their defensive tackle they drafted, I think it was last season, or no, two seasons ago. That dude's, he is a monster. And like, I remember there's one play, he was Connor Williams, I think it was their center or guard, was trying to block him. And Vita Vea just like bull rushed him into oblivion, like straight into Dak Prescott. Like, and it was like a straight 10-yard bull rush that this dude just went on a ride. So I felt so bad for him, because as an offensive lineman, that's the most embarrassing thing that you could ever think of happening.
He manhandled, he moved him like he was nothing. And this is like a big offensive lineman, NFL player, and he just blasts past him like he's a nobody.
Yeah. Yep. So
it's always scary when you see players doing that.
You know, so they did sustain some injuries, you know, like the Murphy Bunting had that very gruesome injury of his forearm, you know, so there's a couple injuries here and there, but I don't think there's any way you can look at the Tampa Bay Bucks and say that they're not going to be a Super Bowl favorite again, because that this first week, they just look like they haven't missed a beat.
Yeah, I agree. I think Dallas showed that maybe they're, one weakness is their secondary, if you can exploit that, but you're also going to have to deal with Brady tearing you up. So,
right. Yeah. He's just methodical with the way he just picks apart defenses. And it's just like frustrating whenever you're like the team playing against him, you're like, oh no, like no matter what we do, he's going to find some way to stop it. I don't know if you noticed it during the game. The one last thing I want to mention about this game, it looked like Byron Leftwich was like trying to call a play, and Brady like looked over at the sideline and just said like no, and like just went on just continuing whatever he was calling before.
Yeah, he basically said like no, we're not doing that play. That's not the right call here.
Uh-huh. He's like, yeah, we're doing this because this is my offense essentially. So just like, oh man, Tom Brady's just out there running things, and no one can really stop him, because obviously they win the game. So it's like, yeah, you just kind of let him do his thing at this point.
How do you think at this point, like you or me could go out there and pretend to be the offensive coordinator for the Bucks and it would be fine?
I mean, Adam Gase did that when he was coaching Peyton Manning for like 7 years. So I feel like we could definitely do that.
Yeah, you don't really have to do anything when your quarterback's the one calling the shots.
So yeah, I would love to just stand out there with a clipboard and or the big sheet of paper and just look like I'm talking, you know, covering my mouth, when really Brady's just out there doing whatever, and they're like, "Yep, that's the offensive coordinator's doing a great job.
He's doing great."
And then so I definitely would I would give that a shot, because Brady would make me look good. So
yeah, I agree. It'd be great to be out there. I also agree that it's hard to bet against them as the Super Bowl favorites, but I think we'll see some teams sneaking in there.
I agree. So speaking of some Super Bowl favorites, some people have been very high on the Ravens this year, but unfortunately the injury bug or injury plague, injury,
plague, epidemic. No, epidemic. We can't say that.
The Kraven's virus.
Just bless the knees.
Bless the knees. Yep,
is all I have to say.
They've really gotten attacked by injuries this season, especially their running back room. Their star running back, the up and coming second year, J.K. Dobbins, went out with a knee injury. I want to say it was last week or 2 weeks ago. Justice Hill, who was their kind of other young running back that was like a good backup, went out with was it also a knee injury, or what was it for him?
I think Hill was an Achilles.
Achilles, okay. And then Gus Edwards, who was like this guy is good. He'll definitely fill in, no problem. He goes out with an ACL injury, and just literally a play later, Marcus Peters goes out with an ACL injury. And so, man, it is like, I just can't imagine like the emotion and the feeling in the Ravens locker room right now as far as what the heck is going on.
Yeah, it seems like every preseason, like before every season, there's one team that gets just like annihilated by injuries before the season even starts. I remember it happened to the 49ers a couple years ago. They just got decimated with injuries before the season even started.
Yep.
And this year, I guess they decided it was the Ravens. So I think as a fan, it's probably pretty discouraging, but they've signed a couple running backs. I mean, they got Le'Veon Bell, they got Latavius Murray, and they got Devontae Freeman. So it's like we're going back in time. We're going to see if any of these guys are still relevant.
Yeah, I ended up picking up Le'Veon Bell, just hoping that I can get like a decent backup running back in our dynasty league, because there's like nothing available in that league. So I'm like just hoping and praying that that Bell will get some snaps and maybe he'll look decent.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look very good if the Chiefs, you know, the team that you sign with for literally nothing ends up getting rid of you. So, yep. I don't know how I feel about it, but I think Latavius Murray, will fill in there nice, because he just got signed by them just yesterday.
I think he's the best fit out of everyone they signed.
I agree. And he can still run pretty well too. So I think it's going to be a really good fit for them. And Latavius, he's a smart guy and will literally do anything and everything that you ask him to. So I think that's going to be a great fit there.
Also, I mean, if they really want to, Frank Gore and AP are still out there.
Ooh, that's right.
Grab one of those.
I don't know how well AP would fit in with the Ravens, shotgun running, but
yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it would work out okay. Who knows?
Yeah, I just want to see more AP. You know, right? Never want him to be done.
This can't be it for him. Like, he's got to go somewhere.
Can't end on the Lions.
No? Yeah, that would just be a shame.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's stop talking about depressing, sad things about injuries, because we don't want to even mention any more of those. Bless the knees.
Nope. Bless the knees.
But let's get into one of our new segments we're going to do this year. And we're going to go with we're going to start off with the lock of the week. And then after, we're going to go with our upset of the week. So, Andy, who is your lock of the week this week? Who are you thinking is going to be the for sure lock it in win this week?
I think for sure lock it in. They're going to win. There's no way they lose. Is the 49ers against the Lions. We talked about the line. We talked about both these teams earlier. You know, the Lions are kind of a team that nobody believes in. New coach, not a talented roster around them. And then the 49ers are 2 years removed from the Super Bowl, have a lot of players back. Jimmy G has apparently looked great in training camp. They've got a great defense. Mm-hmm. So I don't see a world where San Francisco loses this game to the Lions.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair lock, considering just the levels of talent, that the 49ers have. Because like we talked about, they were a Super Bowl team literally 2 years ago. So I don't see why they shouldn't just walk all over the Lions.
Yep, I agree. It's other than the Vikings, because I think they're a lock too. I think 49ers are one of the biggest locks of the week.
Yeah, I was really close to picking them, but I ended up going with the Rams over the Bears.
That would have been my other similar choice.
To what I was kind of referring to earlier. I just think the Bears roster is kind of getting very top heavy. They lost a lot of defensive pieces, and I mean they're going to be starting Andy Dalton, you know. So I just feel like against a Rams defense that is just very fearsome. I just don't know how the Bears are going to be able to move the ball against the Rams. So, I mean, is Matt Stafford really that much more of an upgrade than Jared Goff? Like, yes and no. I mean, I'm excited to see Stafford in a Rams uniform to see how he does. But I don't know. At least the offense, I think, should be more consistent with Stafford under the center. So I just think it's going to be a very convincing win on the Rams' behalf.
Yeah, the weakest part of the Bears is their offensive line. They're really bad this year. And they're starting Dalton, who's not, you know, the most mobile of quarterbacks. So I think that defensive line is going to feast. I think it's going to be a low scoring game. If you're a betting man, I'd bet the under on that game. And I think it might take just this game for them to say, okay, maybe we'll play Fields.
Right. Well, yeah, maybe they just wanted to save Fields. They didn't want him to go up against Aaron Donald. They're like, yeah, let's just bubble wrap him for week one, and then we'll roll him out after week one.
Week one, they don't want him playing against Donald and Jalen Ramsey. Because week two, they play Cincinnati. So that might be a little easier test for Fields if they throw him out there.
I think it might take a little bit more time for Fields to get in there. But I mean, for me, if I was a Bears fan, I would want Fields out there like now. Like,
yep,
there's no point in waiting.
I would be mad at Dalton starting if I were a Bears fan.
Yep. And all the Bears fans' friends that I know are pretty, you know, pretty upset that the Bears essentially are just like, yep, let's just roll with Andy Dalton because we said he was QB1 in a tweet like over the summer.
And that's like, because I fell for that trap last year when Dak went down, I actually thought Dalton was going to come in and be, you know, be really good. I still believed in Dalton, but even last year he just didn't look great with the Cowboys. So I don't think he's going to come out looking like a superstar quarterback by any means.
Yeah, so I just think, the Rams are just going to walk all over him. So that's going to be my lock of the week. And you locked in the 49ers over the Lions, so we'll have to keep track of that in our next pod to see if those locks remain true. And now for some upsets, Andy. Who are you thinking for the upset this week? Who you got there?
My upset, there's a couple choices I'm kind of leaning towards.
Do you want me to go first so then you have more time to choose?
You go for it. So that way I don't steal yours.
Okay. All right. Yeah. If you stole mine, I was going to be very, very pissed.
Yeah.
All right. So my upset of the week, I'm going to go with the Steelers over the Bills. All right. Most would hear this and think like, really? Are the Steelers really that much of an underdog? Like, why would that be an upset? Well, they are. The Bills are 6-point favorites. I think it was 6 points, right, Andy?
6.5-point favorites.
6.5 points favorites. And obviously the Bills, you know, they made it to the AFC Championship game last year. And the Steelers kind of got waxed, in the divisional round versus the Browns. So, or wait, no, it was the wild card round versus the Browns. So I think people are very down on the Steelers, but I think, you know, their defense is still one of the better units in the league. And I think even though Ben is slightly washed up, they just have these great wide receivers still. And I'm really excited for Najee Harris because I think he's going to take a lot of pressure off of Roethlisberger with a position they very much needed to have a stud in, which is the running back.
Yeah, I agree with that one. That was when I was thinking about. I think it's crazy that the Bills are so favored in that matchup. Because I really think they're pretty close in terms of talent, and Buffalo doesn't really have much of a run game. Pittsburgh has a great defense where they can just focus on the pass game. And they have Roethlisberger has looked good this preseason. He's, they're saying he's like some of those best shape of his life article is coming out. You know, he's never been this good type thing physically. So we'll see which Ben shows up. If he, you know, looks different this year, or if he comes out like he did against the Browns and throws like what, 5 interceptions or something in the playoffs. Yeah. Struggled that game for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so I definitely do believe that the Steelers will at least make it interesting, you know, and have a good chance to win that game. And I mean, I do love the Bills, so it was hard for me to pick the Steelers over the Bills just because I don't really like the Steelers that much, but I just think it's a prime opportunity for an upset there.
All right. I think for my upset, I'm still between a few, but I'm gonna go with the Jets over the Panthers.
Ooh, okay.
I almost said Saints over Packers because the Packers are bad, but
Packers are bad. That is true.
I think, you know, I have to go with, you know, our pod when we talked about those rookie quarterbacks and who we thought was going to be the best, and I threw Zach Wilson's name out there. I gotta stay loyal to my thought there. I think Zach Wilson's going to look really good this year. I think Darnold isn't as good as people think. People see this as like the Darnold revenge game, and he's going to have a great year on the Panthers. I think he's fine. He's a fine quarterback, but I don't think he's going to be as good as people think. And I really like Saleh as a coach. So even though there is some lack of talent on that defense for the Jets, especially in the secondary, I think Saleh is a good enough coach to make them at least decent.
Yeah, I like that pick a lot, Andy. You know, I do think that I think I believe in Darnold a little bit more than what you do, just because I mean, that Jets organization has been a mess for so long, and I think that he still is so young and moldable that I don't think he's ruined just yet, but I could be wrong. Because I almost kind of compare, you know, Darnold to David Carr, you know, like the quarterback that was like the first overall pick for the Texans a long time ago when they first expanded the organization.
The one that got sacked like 30 times a game.
Yes. Where like, you know, he was supposed to have a good career and be like a really good quarterback and just got like, you know, demolished and got sacked like forever. So I very much consider like the Jets, which is sad for me to say, because I actually don't, I do like the Jets. But they have just been a mess for so long, and I'm hoping that turns around here with rebuilding with Robert Saleh, because I also think he's a really great coach, and I think he's going to be a good fit there. But I think Darnold's going to be okay. But I would love to see the Jets get this upset week one, because I would also say that they're probably, because I don't know what's the over-under on this one, or what's the spread looking like for this
game? Well, the Panthers are favored by 3.5. So, okay. Apparently this game is closer than the Bills-Steelers game. So,
right, which in my mind I would almost, the Bills-Steelers spread is just still a little weird to me, but
yeah.
But yeah, I would think that if the Jets do win this, I would consider it a pretty big upset, just because new coach, new quarterback, very young roster. You know, there's a lot of things that could potentially go wrong. So I think that this would be a pretty big upset if they could pull it off.
Yeah. And when you start naming, I mean, you think of the Panthers, it's like Christian McCaffrey's back. DJ Moore is good. They drafted a good receiver. Didn't they draft a corner in the first? Their defense might be pretty decent. So, I mean, the Panthers could be pretty good this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Panthers won. But I think, you know, it's just a gut feeling. I think the Jets are going to be decent this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm hoping the Jets can make a run for at least trying to, you know, be over or close to 500, which is kind of weird now that we're not really going to have any teams at like 500 at all anymore. Like, so there's never going to be any 8-8 teams anymore.
Yeah, they're never right at 500.
So that's going to be
the other upset I thought about was our Browns over the Chiefs, but I just couldn't make the pick.
Yeah, yep, that was another one of my favorites too, because I do think the Browns have a really good shot at winning that game. You know, obviously it's a rematch of that divisional round game, and that was a very good game. And I think, like I said, I'm a big Baker believer, and I think that he's going to have a big step up, and I think he's going to have a big run. I don't know necessarily if he would have, you know, any MVP hype or anything, but I think he's going to be at least in that conversation if all goes well for the Browns this season.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, anyone that listens to the show knows that Browns are our second favorite team, and we're going to be rooting for them all year. So,
except for week four. So,
yep, except week four.
We'll just root that they don't get injured. That's the only thing we'll root for the Browns that week.
Yep, I'm down with that.
All right. Well, we're not going to be doing any big three fantasy picks this week, because we are actually we're going to be taking that out to the old workshop and trying to decide what we want to do with that this year. But we are eventually going to have, you know, some version of what we did last year. We just weren't sure how to bring it up this year yet. So we are going to workshop that and then hopefully give you some DFS, you know, advice when coming down to what are some different locks that you can make to hopefully win some big money this season. So we'll definitely be getting some of those to you week two.
Yep.
All right, well, let's wrap this up here, Andy. Next episode, we're looking probably at doing a regularly scheduled program here now, because now that the season started, there's obviously a lot to talk about. And we want to talk about Vikings and just football in general as often as we can. So we're going to start recording regularly on Mondays, with Tuesdays probably being a morning release for you guys. So make sure to, if you haven't already, subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcasts for us, like, comment, whatever it is. Just be ready for those episodes to come out, because we would love to keep you guys as listeners and keep you keyed in. So just make sure to do all those things here. And then Twitter handles, just a reminder, we had to change our Twitter handle to something else. So remember, it's like a caveman. So say this with us, like a caveman.
Like a caveman.
Bless Knees Pod.
Bless Knees Pod.
Bless Knees Pod. It should be easy to remember. Just think caveman. So easy a caveman can do it.
Yep.
Bless Knees Pod. I'm at Justin Bresky, and Andy, you are at?
I am at It's Andy Erickson.
So make sure to give us a follow there, and just really, interact with us on Twitter, because we're going to start, you know, tweeting during these games, and Andy and I are going to hopefully be able to get on Discord and watch these games together, so we can actually have some live content coming out whenever we're commenting on what's happening here. But one last piece before we end here, some big news, some breaking news. We have decided on what game we are attending this year, and I am super excited for it. Andy, are you super excited for this?
Yeah, we were between a couple, and I think this one just seems like the right choice.
It felt like a no-brainer. And I mean, we got some nice tickets for a good price, and we are happy to announce that we're going to be going to the home opener this year versus the Seattle Seahawks. And we are
week
super
three,
excited.
Week three, yep. Home opener, first home game since like pre-COVID. That place is going to be rocking. You know, it's a big game against a team that's not a division rival, but I'd consider the Seahawks a rival at this point. We play them enough. We always play them in Seattle. So it's going to be really fun to play them at home with a full stadium for the first time in forever. So
yes, I am super excited. It's going to be a great game. So if you are in the area or plan on going to the game, make sure to shoot us a message or a DM on Twitter, or maybe we'll throw out a Twitter post or a tweet closer to the game about maybe we'll be pre-gaming at a certain bar or at a certain tailgate area. So we'll make sure to try to meet up with anybody if you happen to be there. So please make sure to be on the lookout for that. So we are super excited about that, being able to see some live Vikings football again, because it has been over almost 2 years since we've been able to go to a game. So,
yeah, it's been a long time. And, you know, obviously I was at the preseason game, but, you know, regular season games just hit different.
They do. they definitely hit different. You know, the stakes are higher, the stadium's full, you know, it's just all these things. And obviously all the starters are playing. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful Sunday way to spend your day. And I am super excited about it. So make sure to check that out or come to that same game with us, because we're going to have so much fun there. So be prepared to check out our next episode here. We're going to record next Monday. So be on, keep your eyes on the lookout for Tuesday for our next episode. And we will see you next time, friends. Bless the knees.
Bless the knees. Lele, mm-hmm. My young, dum 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 dum, lele.